Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards here back with you guys today. I was sick as all get out last
How
week.
How sick were you?
I was super sick. Okay. But I am better now. I feel like I finally turned the corner. I feel like everybody's been sick for about a year.
Yeah.
So Ed Maher to my right, the Coalition, and Phil Davidson. How you doing, Phil?
Welcome back.
Carpenters, thank you.
Good to see you, Captain.
It's good to have all three of us back and healthy. It's cold out today on a Sunday morning. We don't have to worry about football traffic because there is no football here in Chicago.
Yeah, probably not for another 10 years. We'll have to worry about that.
I don't know. Next year could be the year.
Yeah.
We're hiring a new coach. There's no way that we get this wrong.
There's so much to be hopeful for, right?
Yeah. Like my Giants, who had the number one pick and managed to win a game at the end of the season. Now they have number three pick.
That was unbelievable.
Well, the backups, there was an interview with one of the guys. I forget his name, but he was a backup. Yeah. He's like, "What? I never get to play. What do you want me to do? Just go out there and miss tackles?"
No, of course not. They should all play really hard. Good for them.
The quarterback you drafted was getting paid like $50 million a year, and by the end, he was playing like third team safety on the scout team.
That's terrible. I know.
Well, okay. No bueno.
All right.
Can't win them all.
It is what it is. That's so, great. What do we got?
Well, we've got Nikki Montgomery coming in from Workers Family Friend later on.
Great organization.
Yeah,
they do based in Kansas work. City, but they do a massive amount of charity work in our space, the workers' union space. So you're going to be really interested to hear what she has to say. It's fascinating. It's something that's needed. It fills a gap.
Raising money right now.
Yeah. And they're raising money. So you're going to be hit up for money in the next segment.
And leading into the inauguration, we're going to have a whole bunch of interesting things to talk about with union news and, you know, stuff that's on the horizon. But before we get to all that, we're losing two things in the near future that have become apparent this week.
Tick and talk?
One of them is TikTok.
Oh, that's one thing.
Yeah, yep. And I'm today's the last day, so be sure to update it, everybody, so you can continue to use it until it just falls apart. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to miss TikTok.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah, I've tried to wean myself off. But the other one that just was announced this week, Red Number 3. They're taking away Red Number 3.
The dye?
I don't know how you feel about food dyes, but Red Number 3 is one of my favorites.
What's in it?
They make it out of petroleum.
Poison.
Yeah, it's a petroleum-based food dye.
Isn't there another red number blank back in the day?
That's a very good point, because we'll get to that.
Oh, I'm a yellow number 5 guy, actually.
You would be. Yeah. You totally would be. So Red Number 3, it's petroleum-based. They put it in everything, and it's approved by the FDA for a long time, but people are very suspicious about this. It causes cancer in rats, but it doesn't cause cancer in people, the FDA says. So I'm left to wonder,
sounds safe then.
Is it tail cancer? Uh-huh. Like, what kind of cancer do rats get that we can't get? I think it's very suspicious.
Whisker cancer.
Yeah, so.
That's scabby.
I got some whiskers.
That's scabby. That's a good one.
So they're getting rid of Red Number 3. It's going to take a little while, but luckily for everybody out there, they've got Red Number 40. Which also causes cancer in rats, and it's not being banned, and it's also made out of petroleum. If you have any money that you want to invest, invest it in Red Number 40, because
The next Red Number 3?
Whoever the Red 40 guy is, he's got a friend in Washington.
That's interesting. You know? So you're giving financial advice?
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
No insider trading here.
So, and how does that affect our petrochemical workers, right? Because we have a ton of them.
I don't know.
In the trades.
Everything is made out of oil.
Pretty much. Plastic is made out of oil.
We live in a world that doesn't really, there won't be much in it if there's no oil being
processed. Listen, I'm no prognosticator, but starting tomorrow after the inauguration, I think we're going to see a lot more fossil fuel-based
laser approach.
The Department of Energy Secretary nominee, I think, is an oil lobbyist.
Aren't they all anti the industry that they're running?
For sure.
Drill, baby, drill. Right?
Yeah. So whatever.
In fairness, I think it's kind of always been that way in America.
Yeah, I don't know that the EVs took off the way they thought they would. I don't understand how Elon Musk is so wealthy. I just don't get it, because it seems like people are sort of going anti-Tesla, if you will.
Yeah, right, like now they are, sure.
Right, they're like, we don't need, why do we need Teslas, right?
Yeah, and like with the state's policies, it's they're not meeting their goals, they're not meeting the energy needs. Like,
I think those are going to get wiped out.
It might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, because there was a ton of work, right, building these, you know, power stations and the grids and et cetera. So that's good work. We hope that continues.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't know.
They're behind.
I think that's right.
There's lots of work to do. We could put a whole another generation of people to work doing the work that should be getting done now.
And all the power that these data centers demand. And, you know, it's
Data centers
they're sucking up all the energy.
I mean, that's going to be all the construction at some point in the next few years.
But you're right, though, Phil. Yeah. They need I just learned how much energy they go through.
Oh, yeah.
They need an amazing amount of energy, which, by the way, is work for our workers.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So good, that's good. Build more data centers. Build all that stuff. That's fine. You know, we'll take the work, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So, listen, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Nikki Montgomery from the Workers' Families Friend, and then we'll get into some things that we think you'll find interesting for the rest of the show. We'll be right back on more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, and as we stated earlier, we are super stoked to have Nikki Montgomery. She's the president of Working Families Friend. Nikki, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time out of your Sunday to come on the air. We appreciate it. So Nikki is the president of Working Families Friend. And in a nutshell, tell us what Working Families, and it's families apostrophe
correct
after the S, so more than one family.
Plural.
Right? Plural. That's plural, Phil.
Yeah. Friends of several families.
There's more than one family.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's even more important now.
It's called grammar.
Let's share the wealth.
Yeah. Share the wealth, literally. Yeah. All right, Nikki, what is Working Families Friend?
We are a 501c3 not-for-profit charity founded in order to help working people whenever they've had an emergency of some kind and need some financial help. And because of their income and employment status, they traditionally do not qualify for help at any other agency. So those are the people that we serve. You know, most of them have several things in common. They work for a living, support themselves, their families, and their communities.
Yep.
They've experienced a specific crisis, something, you know, that happened. They've depleted all their personal savings, checkings, and other resources. They've never asked for help from any other agency, and they don't qualify for help at any other agency. And those are the people that we serve.
That's interesting. So it's a niche, right? And so back to what you just said, the reason they don't qualify for aid in other instances is because they're the middle class, right? Mm-hmm. They make too much money to qualify, correct?
Yeah, they're employed, and so that disqualifies them from many agencies, and they are above the poverty level.
Right.
And
that doesn't mean that they don't get in trouble every once in a while, right?
No.
People are people. You know, crisis are crisis.
And we're all one paycheck away from a financial, you know,
that's
emergency.
That's what they say. Right. And look what's happening in California, right, with the fires. I mean, devastating, you know, so, and not just for the millionaires and billionaires, but the middle class that, you know, happen to live there as well. So
that poverty level could use an adjusting, it feels like.
I think that's right.
With inflation, no, it's hard.
Yeah.
So how long have you guys been around?
We were founded in 2003, so we just celebrated our 20-year anniversary not too long ago.
Wow.
Yeah, my father is actually the man who founded it, Mike Montgomery.
Okay.
He was an IBEW lineman.
Love it.
And did that for many years, and he got tired of, you know, working people always giving to charities and supporting, but when he saw his brothers and sisters have an emergency, there was no help for them at all anywhere.
Yeah.
And at a point in time where, you know, my mother was pretty sure it was time for him to start slowing down and getting to the end of his career, he said nope and took a $100 personal check and founded Working Families Friend.
No kidding.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And since his background, you know, with the unions, and those are the people that he knew, those were his friends, those were, you know, his people, that is where we have not only supported, but those unions in turn have supported us. And that's how we've been able to steadily grow.
So 20 years ago, he starts this thing, right? And gears, And it makes sense to me, by the way, because we've actually had this discussion on the air where it's like, where's the help for the middle class? Like, if God forbid something happens to us, like our credit union, for example, allows us to skip payments,
right?
Things like that. And some unions have, you know, a member's assistance fund, but you have to make an application for it. Mm-hmm. You know, during the recession, we had the food banks, right? But, you know, they're also proud union members, and they don't like to necessarily take charity that often as well.
Exactly.
So you have that. But I think the people that you serve or the families that you serve really are, it's important. A, we do important work, right? We give back to the community all the time.
Yep.
Right? So you're talking about unions, building trades predominantly, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, there is no GoFundMe for us, right? You know,
no.
Something happens to us, you know, what do? You pass the hat around? And I've been in situations that we all have, right? Where at a union means where literally they'll pass a hat around and we collect money for somebody that really needs it. You know, the tragedy happened. But you've actually professionalized this and made it into a not-for-profit. And so how many unions participate in this?
We have probably about 50 or so unions that we partner with.
That's awesome.
We don't have geographic limits, so we can serve anywhere in the country. I can, do financial support. I'm in Kansas City,
right?
But I can support someone in Denver just as easily as I can down the street from me.
Right. So tell me what happens, like how does somebody make
application? Yeah, how does someone apply for the benefits?
Yeah. How does this work?
Well, one of the things is I need to have a partnership with that local union. So anyone that is listening today that would, you know, find value in helping their members, have your leadership, they can call me, go to our website, wffriend.org,
wffriend.org. And what's the phone number?
Yes. 816-842-5600.
816-842-5600.
Correct.
Very good.
And, you know, we can, have a phone conversation on the procedures. One of the things that we're a firm believer on is, you know, we do emergency assistance, and that means it's an emergency. So when that union member in, let's just say Denver, since I brought up Denver, has had something happen, whatever that emergency is, they are in a bind, they are in a jam, there is nowhere else to turn. That union president or business manager can reach out to me. It's send me a referral form. It's a one-page form. And I can issue a check that same day.
That's awesome.
Wow. If they have a shut-off notice for a utility, I can call and stop it immediately. If they have an eviction or a foreclosure, most of those places are willing to, since I'm a 501c3 not-for-profit, I'm willing to accept a verbal promise to pay until they receive the funds.
Ah, that's great. Good for you.
Yeah. An emergency is an emergency. This isn't, well, next month I'm, you know, it's like, no, they need help today.
So it's an emergency only, right? And do you, let me ask you this, just a devil's advocate for a second. You don't get involved where asking like how they got jammed up into this. Like in other words, if somebody like gambled away their money, you know, what happens in that case? Or does it ever get to that?
You know what? That's not the kind of people we serve. What I like to say is there are thousands of agencies out there fighting the good fight to help, you know, people that are chronic needy, have other issues, have budgeting issues.
Right.
That's not what I do.
Yeah. For cases where bad luck has really fallen upon someone.
Yeah. How many people do you serve in a year, give or take, who receive your benefits?
We serve about, combined with the financial assistance and the advocacy we do, about 4,000 people a year.
Whoa.
Holy cow.
I know, and we are a teeny tiny agency, so we are constantly hustling.
That's impressive. I would not expect that high of a number.
That is really impressive. Yeah. How big is the staff, Nikki?
Well, I'm the president. My vice president is Chris Jenkins, and my office manager is Laura Webb, and we make up the entirety of Working Family Spread.
It's like us, Phil. Like we're all three of us are the Workers' Mike.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And Ed, and I are the staff of the coalition.
Phil. We just got, a foot of snow here in Kansas City not long ago, and I was out here shoveling the snow. So, you know, that's what you do when you're a small operation, right?
That's right.
You do everything. Yeah, I'm with you.
God bless you.
And so your board is board members. Your board members, obviously you have a board. Those are our union members, correct?
Most of them are. We have a few that are We have someone from Evergy, which is our power company here on our board.
Got it.
Evergy employs a bunch of, you know, IBEW workers.
Right.
We have the CEO of the Heavy Contractors Association on our board.
Okay.
She, you know, so even our corporate support that we receive is because they are, they employ union employees and support them through that.
And they understand that the money's going to union families, right?
Yeah.
It's not going
yes.
elsewhere, correct?
Yes.
And so in order to be part
correct.
Of this, you need to be a union member in good standing, correct?
Yes.
Just like us, just right? Like us. I mean, just like our coalition. You have to be a card-carrying union member.
Yeah.
So don't think you're going to be a fair share payer or free rider or right to work or Janus or any of those things and then go, oh, by the way, I got jammed up. I need money because that's not happening.
That wouldn't be
right.
fair.
The,
yeah.
The key to that door is a union card, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You got Rocky Cloth on the board, right, from the Carpenters?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the chairman of my board, actually.
Oh, chairman.
Right? Shout out to Rocky.
Yeah.
Rocky is the man.
I met him for the first time the other day, Phil, when I was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His heart is in the right place.
Listen to Phil talking about the Carpenters, of course.
He's
right?
so good.
You know, he's a great guy. He's a good egg.
I mean, he is the chair.
He is the chair. That's
obviously,
right.
they picked a
so
Carpenter
you guys
to
are,
that
you,
job.
Hey, Nikki, you guys are having a charity event, correct?
Yes, on January 31st, we have our first of the year fundraiser. It's a casino night. It's one of our biggest fundraisers of the year. 100% of the proceeds go to supporting the financial assistance.
And there's a raffle that you guys have, right?
Yes.
All right, so the raffle. Tell us about the raffle.
We have a raffle that is anybody, anywhere can participate. The prize I'll be doing the drawing on January 31st is $1,000.
That's awesome.
Okay. And the tickets are $10. And they can go to our website.
Say the website again.
WFFriend.org.
Okay.
And if they go to the events page and find Casino Night, there is a button on the left-hand side that says Purchase Raffle Ticket. And, you know, it's $10 a ticket. You'll have to enter your name and phone number so that I can call you and say, hey, you won $1,000.
Phil, you hear that? I mean, your guy's on the board. He's the president, so you kind of have to buy them.
That is right.
You have to buy one now.
I already bought 10.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You're just a liar.
I got Express Send.
Well, you're about to.
Yeah
right. There's no question about that. Well, that's really cool. So you raise money doing that. And so you will take money from, you'll take money from corporations, but the corporations have to have a union tie-in, correct?
So they, all of the ones that we've ever worked, it's never come up where they didn't. We work with like UPS,
yeah.
you know, obviously have the Teamsters,
sure.
again, the power company.
Yep.
We have Ulico is on our board.
Okay,
obviously,
yep,
Ulico
that makes
is a
sense.
Huge,
yep.
huge supporter. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's the kind of corporate support we get, the ones that, you know, have a large union.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think the anti-union corporations are going to be making any
You don't think so, Phil?
Anyways. Yeah,
you
know something tells me.
National Rights Work.
Something tells me Bezos.
They don't want to answer my phone calls.
Yeah, not high on his priority list. Yeah. He's got too many workers.
You don't think Elon Musk is not going to write a check?
I don't know. Something tells me not.
No, those definitely are the kind of people. Like, you know, I apply for grants as well, and I spoke not long ago to a ritzy grant foundation and the kind of questions that I received, we got declined, obviously, you know, and, you know, she just looked me blank in the face and was like, so if these people have jobs, what, you know, and they have an emergency, why don't they just put it on their credit card?
That's the answer. That's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah. That's the mentality out there.
Yeah, put on your credit card, right?
Elon
would
be like, no, come work for free for my new Doge government efficiency program, because apparently people are working for free to do that.
So is that right?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. So, all right, listen, Nikki, and so unions, if you're listening, union leaders and members, you know, tell your leadership about it, right? If you're a union leader listening to
it's
this,
a great idea.
You know, give Nikki a shout. It is a really, really good idea. It's the same kind of concept as the coalition, right? Economies of scale. You have to be a union, you know, member in good standing to get this, but it's a great benefit, right?
Yeah.
You have a place to turn, and not a lot of people know about it. When I heard about it, I'm like, holy cow, that's really super cool.
Yeah.
So
it's not a few dozen people receiving this, it's 4,000 people.
Yeah, 4,000 people are getting help every single year.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And kudos to you, Nikki, for doing that. So one last time, the phone number, Nikki?
Phone number is 816-842-5600, and the website to reach us as well is WFFriend.org.
And go Chiefs, right?
Go Chiefs, yes.
Boo.
Certainly the NFL establishment feels that way.
You brought it up.
Yeah, I certainly did bring it up. I just, you just had a lot of people cancel their donations in Chicago.
No.
I'm kidding. All right, listen, thank you so much for coming on the air. Thank you for everything that you're doing. I think it's really, really cool. And we appreciate it. We will be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Bill, that was super cool with Nikki, right?
Loved it.
Yeah, she's doing...
They do a lot of great work.
Yeah, they're doing God's work. And, you know, it's interesting, right? Because we're in the situation where it's just like when we apply for, you know, FAFSA, for example, of those of you that are sending your kids to college, we don't qualify for it.
No.
You know? And we get nothing. And we pay full boat for pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Right? And on top of it, we pay the most taxes.
Yeah.
So the middle class pays, you know, literally pays the most taxes.
Yeah.
We're paying full boat for college because we're in that weird position of we make too much money to qualify for any kind of assistance whatsoever. But our members get jammed up.
You had to pay full freight for Evan?
Well, he got some scholarships himself. Okay. But yeah, other than that, yeah, of course. Yeah. We didn't qualify for a single bit of aid financially. Yeah. Right? So get ready, Phil. How many kids you got?
Two.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no.
You better start doing some overtime.
No, they're both going to be professional golfers.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. There you go.
Scholarships.
I hope they don't
need a caddy. I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. They're not comedians like you.
Mm-mm.
No, not going to follow in that lucrative career.
You know, it's a tough act to follow.
Speaking of big, we have some big news, and that is here in the great state of Illinois, you know, we have a very, very good, aggressive attorney general, right? Kwame Rowe. And he was on the show. You know, he talks about a lot, you know, wage theft, right? Which, by the way, carpenters do a massive job of getting after that and getting money back. But he, you know, we had talked about a few months ago, yet another company decided to just shut their doors, right? So this was Foxtrot here in Chicago, which is this uppity kind of fancy
convenience store.
An uppity convenience store.
Yeah, it's like
a fancy grocery store.
If you love coffee and hate having money, it was a good place to go.
Right. If you want to pay a lot for a sandwich, that's the place to go. But they always said they shuttered, right? And then they had a bunch of employees and they didn't follow the WARN Act, allegedly. And so Kwame's after them for $3.8 million. Interestingly enough, they're reopening. So I don't know what that move was. I don't quite understand it. But Kwame has said it doesn't matter.
You violated
the WARN Act. And, you know, like I think, you know, the Teamsters were talking about Pepsi, right? Just shutting the doors. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like, how do you, first of all.
I think they sold to new ownership. So they're going to really like that new bill they got to pay.
here's your first invoice.
Failed to mention this.
Yeah, it's $3.8 million because that's what he's going after of wages. And, you know, if you're a company and you shut your doors, you know, that's fine. It's your right to do. But give the employees some notice. Give them some time to go find other employment. Let them work and make that last couple of paychecks, you know. And, the age-old adage is, well, if we tell them that we're closing, they're not going to show up to work because they're going to be looking for other jobs. Well, that's just too bad, right? That's, you know, you're closing your shop. So anyway, Kwame's after them. And then another case here in Illinois, you know, we talk about child labor all the time, is a company called Hearthside. They were based in Downers Grove. And they make food, you know, like a food services type company.
Mm-hmm.
So they had filed for bankruptcy, but they had also had some labor violations, i.e. child labor law violations. So the Trib reported that they came to a settlement to pay back some money. Now, and it was approved by the Texas bankruptcy judge. I have no idea how this case gets to Texas. I don't understand it. I don't know.
Everything winds up there.
In Texas.
Yeah.
It certainly seems that way, right?
Yeah, you have friends.
Is it because it's at the bottom of the country?
Yeah.
That things flow that way?
Yeah.
Everything flows down to Texas.
It's gravity.
Also, they're anti-worker, so it's a good place to have a venue for your corporate interests.
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
But here's my question, and I don't know the answer to this. So if somebody's listening and knows the answer, send us an email. What's our email address?
WorkersMike@WGNradio.com.
You sure?
Yeah.
You don't sound too confident about that.
I'm very confident.
No, he was right.
WorkersMike@WGNradio.com. We're still running that win a date with Ashley contest also. So send us an email. You know, you got a chance.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you got a chance.
Yeah, the emails are quiet. On that one.
I think they're quiet on everything because we're doing such a great job. Who's got notes on this show? Nobody.
It's always a good sign when you say, we're still running a contest.
Nobody has won. So, but here, when a company is tagged, right, for violation of child labor laws, where does that money go? Does it go back into the treasury? Like, who gets that money? And do the kids that worked get the money? And shouldn't they, by the way?
They certainly should.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I wonder if there's an organization that, you know, let's say you are a victim of child labor, right? Or you shouldn't be working. You know, is there a fund that would be set up, you know, to take some of that money and say, okay, here's some money for you for, you know, college or to buy your first house or buy your, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that exists. So if you're listening, let us know. Does that not exist?
I think we have a law in the books in Illinois they passed recently where parents can't exploit their children's success on social media. And like if you develop
isn't it crazy they have to make laws about this?
Your kid's got a million followers and can command, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars a year.
Sounds like that kid needs a manager.
Exactly. And the parents are like, oh no, that's gonna go in my pocket. And no, your parents can't take that.
I'm taking child management classes. I'm available.
Sign here, kid.
My daughters as professional golfers. Money. I'm like, exactly.
So we get some other news, which is really odd. And, you know, like I said, you know, tomorrow's a big day. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with labor. You can expect changes to the Labor Relations Board, right? There's going to be immediate changes to that board. No
Peter
question
Rob's
in
coming
mind.
Back.
is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Boo. Did we get that boo button?
Yeah, we need that boo button.
Yeah,
boo button.
Yeah. That one.
So they're going to undo what was previously done the past 4 years about making it easier to organize, you know, all this kind of... So we're just in this stupid flip-flop.
Yeah.
One party has control, workers get a little bit of an easier break. One party takes control, it gets a little bit harder.
Yeah, it
workers.
Is absurd.
You know, what you guys were talking about last week, you know, the fact that they tried to ban a balloon.
Yes.
During the last administration.
Tried very hard
to ban the balloon.
A lot of tax dollars were put into that effort.
Banning a balloon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was Peter Robb, right?
Yes, oh, yeah.
And he's back.
Because, as you guys said.
Careful, Scabby.
I think Scabby's going to be all right.
Yeah. You think so?
I mean, there's enough. He got smoked. Peter Robb got smoked in federal court in the NLRB over this because there's so many court decisions, starting with Local 150's decision in Orland Park.
Right.
That just state unequivocally, this balloon has First Amendment protection. So they would have to really, really carve up the First Amendment, which I know they don't like to do. They like to make corporations people and make everybody able to contribute to the campaign funds.
That's right.
Well,
they'd have to get very creative. Not saying that they won't do it, but I'm
it's annoying that they tried.
What a waste of time.
Oh, a complete waste of time and, you know, waste of government efficiency, right, Doge?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, there you go. So maybe, like, lay off the nonsense and
go
after. But anyway, so we're going to see, a sea change is coming. But, you know, we're going to wait and see. But in closer to home news, what's that guy's name? Josh Hawley from Missouri?
Yes, yeah. Senator Josh Hawley.
What did he do, Ed?
So he has been working on quietly and introduced earlier this week what he calls the pro-worker framework. Now, this is a...
Did you say Josh Hawley and pro-worker in the same sentence?
I know. Bear with me here. So he is a former supporter of Right to Work,
yes.
Senator from Missouri, not always a friend to labor, but within the past year, he has gotten up and really pushed for sort of pro-worker conservatism within the GOP, saying a lot of things that we've said, that a lot of union members, a lot of people that work very hard are Republicans, and we should not be trying to ruin their lives all the time. So,
good for him.
Yeah, I mean, I read this stuff.
He's a corporate lawyer, too, right? It's a complete about-face.
So this plan that he has is called the pro-worker framework, and there's a lot of good things in here. It's a sort of a watered-down version of the PRO Act, but it's not all that watered down, really. So there's a number of things in here. He wants to expedite elections for people that want unions, so he wants to put a 20-day time frame between filing a petition for
Love
a union
it.
And having the election.
Love it.
Second, he wants to have negotiations start within 10 days of the union election, which look at Starbucks, look at Amazon.
Sure.
I mean, this is stuff that is badly needed and would take a lot of power away from companies that are trying to sort of slow play this and take the union out. for companies that violate the NLRA, he wants to put real penalties. So you're not, you know, working kids in the middle of the night and you have a $100 fine. He wants to make this stuff that sticks, makes it so that companies have an actual disincentive not to break the law. Bring back posting notices, you know, all the workers' rights notices. Barring performance quotas like the ones you see at Amazon where people can't go to the bathroom. They have to pack X number of boxes that have, you know, people are having, like, problems with their bodies because they don't go to the bathroom. They're holding it and creating problems because they have these quotas.
Good time to be a urologist.
That's no joke. Creating new ergonomic standards to kind of protect people who have things with jobs where you'd get carpal tunnel and back problems. Back problems are a huge issue in you know, the working world.
That's for sure, especially in the building trades, right? Where your body is your tool, right? Nothing that we would object to. So
all we're seeing right now are the bullet points. We haven't seen, like, the full text of it, but he's been trying to work with work with the incoming labor secretary, and he's actually been out there trying to push support for this. And the final thing is a federal ban on captive audience meetings, which we've done here in Illinois. A number of other states have done it, but it's a great thing. I mean, there's really good things in here. What's missing that's in the PRO Act? A ban on right to work.
Sure.
Which is a huge deal, and a number of other things. But to see a Republican senator pushing these kinds of things, it almost makes me believe that if something's really, truly anti-worker hits the Senate, maybe there's this one Republican that might not support it.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
And
just the fact that, like, sometimes, hey, you got to make compromise to make progress, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone loves a PRO Act, but the PRO Act's been around for 15, 20 years.
How many times have they been voted
zero
on?
Movement, zero yeah. movement. So
it's never been voted on, correct?
It's passed the House, but it's always died the Senate.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And so... And that's by the way, the Dems controlled the president of the House and the Senate.
Yeah, they had all three.
They still didn't pass the PRO Act.
It's so hard. Yeah.
So, I think that's dead in the water. You know, I saw Josh Hawley when he was running say...
On January 6th?
Well, I saw that too.
Running into the Capitol. Running away from the Capitol.
Yeah, sorry, Josh, we had to take that hiding shot at you, but thanks for the bill.
Yeah, you're a coward.
Maybe we'll see you get him on the show. But in Missouri, right, they have beaten back right to work legislation twice.
Yeah.
Right? And pretty resoundingly. And that's in a Republican state, red state, right?
Red state.
So
perhaps he's reading the room.
Well, he came out during the election and said, I am against right to work. And his opponent, a Democrat, said, no, you're not. You're just saying that. And he actually said, listen, I was for it. I've changed my mind. Why? Because my constituents have spoken. The people in Missouri have spoken. They don't want right to work. End of discussion. I'm against it.
I mean, that's fair, because at the end of the day, anybody who's elected, you can have your views on things. You're supposed to be a leader, but you also are there to represent the interests of your people. And if your people say they don't want something, you have to go to work every day.
Well, you're supposed to, right? Yeah, you're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
And we find, you know, constantly, if you read the news, you know, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right? They're you know, trying to get laws passed like, oh, you know, we're going to do blank, whatever blank is. And you know that people there don't want it, but they're going to do it anyway. You know, and so in the world of labor and workers, you know, listen, we'll take bipartisanship, period. Correct? I mean, that's a great thing for us.
Right.
We need it. And you know, and we've talked about this, and I'm going to say it again. You know, you guys said last week, and SEIU, which, you know, part of my family comes from in New York, joined the AFL again, right?
Yep. Yep.
I think 20 years later, got nowhere with this Change to Win organization that went, you know, I don't know. Was Carpenter's part of that?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But... And SEIU went out and organized.
We're out too, though, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so do the Carpenters, right? And so the Teamsters, like, everybody's out organizing right now, which is good. But the AFL-CIO, once again, on a national level, not on a state level. State here in Illinois, for example, sponsor the show. They do great, great work.
Yes, they do.
You know, really, really help labor. And but on a national level, I still, to this day, don't know what they do other than give money to Democrats. I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that. I'm not sure. I know they're in Washington, D.C. They're supposed to be close to the White House and help lobby and blah, 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 blah. But when you put all your eggs in one basket, it's tough to lobby, right? It's like, hey, Mr. Republican, I'm here from the AFL-CIO. I would love to have a chat. goodbye, you know, right. Door you shut.
The trap door button.
Yeah, and they're representing a lot of competing interests amongst the union membership, you know. Like,
well, look, more than half the building trades are Republican. End of discussion, right? Yeah. So if we can figure this out, if somebody can figure this out, don't go after unions, right? Yeah. Today, or not today, it was Friday on the front cover of the New York Post. Which is a horrible rag, by the way. Yeah. Used to be great, but now it's a horrible, horrible rag. I think it's Murdoch, if I'm not mistaken.
Still,
It literally had to say, you know, unions cause, you know, deficit for, you know, New York public schools, $36 per student or what, $36,000 per student or whatever it was, right? It was just, it had the word like, union's fault. Yeah. Like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, that ship has sailed. Stop blaming the unions, right? We're all of what? It's like the unions are ruining the world. Well, we're 10% of the workforce. How can we?
Yeah. There's a teacher shortage, so your solution is, let's pay them less.
Yeah. You know? The richest man in the world is going to have an office in the West Wing of the White House.
I know.
And that's teachers scary. Are destroying America.
Yeah, right.
It's all
what are the
fault.
Problems?
Yeah.
Yeah, and nurses and, you know, whatever. You know, so it just, it's goofy. Look, Texas, right? I just read this. Texas has a dearth of healthcare workers, mm-hmm. right? Doctors, nurses, et cetera. And they're asking other states to share their healthcare workers.
So this is the same Texas that wants to put conditions on sending money to repair the damage from the fires in California. They want to force the increase in the debt ceiling or something like that. They're putting strings on rebuilding people's homes and putting out active fires, but they want nurses.
Yeah, no by the way, you listening, Brandon? You listening, Mayor Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, staff the fire department.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
It's coming up on 4 years.
Yeah. That's right.
But Ed, you're right. And so, you know, Texas is like, we need more healthcare workers. And hey, state next to Texas, which I'm not sure what state that would be.
I'm going to wait until you come up with
I'm going to say New Mexico.
Yeah, New Mexico is a board. You,
is that right?
You got one.
Oklahoma.
Against all odds.
Oklahoma.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, you got Oklahoma. You got Louisiana.
Yep.
Louisiana. Got Arkansas there.
Yeah,
maybe.
Little Arkansas really? Touches. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if I'm any of those states, I tell Texas, A, go pound sand.
Yeah.
Right? And B, maybe they should put some conditions on sending people over there, right?
I don't know if they're going to Arkansas for nurses. I mean, I'm not the stereotype, but.
That's nice, Phil.
Yeah, I got this.
Arkansas
here.
Nurses are fantastic, just for the record.
Yeah.
But yes, you know, you're driving people out of your state with, you know, your banning books and your horrible policies and no water breaks.
Right,
Governor?
That.
Remember that?
Yeah.
You know? So Greg Abbott's rolling around the Capitol and he's shutting off the water from all.
Yeah.
Water fountains, you know, and so you wonder why people leave in your state.
We should use this as a bargaining chip because, hey, we got a lot of nurses in Illinois, but we're not a big fan of his deportation policies.
They won't mess
for
with
immigrants.
Texas.
Yeah,
don't mess with Texas.
Yeah,
I like it. So anyway, that is that's some of the stuff that's going on in the world. It is going to be an interesting week. Let's see what happens. You know, my understanding is, you know, President-elect Trump has a whole bunch of executive orders ready to roll. Let's see what that looks like. No. But take a quick break, and we'll be right back and wrap up the show right here on the Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil. And by the way, Ed, we have been traveling an insane amount, huh?
Quite a little bit.
Yeah. Jeez. And it's not going
to
stop.
There's a lot more to come.
Yeah, there's a bunch more to come. But hopefully we'll have some super good news for everybody that's listening coalition-wide, coalition-wise. You know, Ed and I are really just like, the calls are just coming in after union, after union, after union. Just calling. It's all organic. Like, hey, we want to hear more about what you have to say. And you know why, Phil?
Because you care.
And but I think a lot of people are starting to get this. And that is, like you were talking about earlier, you know, the one thing that's not in Josh Hawley's, you know, PRO Act or whatever you want to call it, is a ban on right to work, right? I think people, and I've heard this from labor leaders, like, look, we think it's coming. You know, the coalition is a good way to blunt that. So over the course of the next couple of months, we're going to have some discussion about that, what that looks like.
Yeah, just how it adds value to being a union member.
And while we're on this topic, like, big picture for a second, you know, I would love to hear from you, the audience, like, are there topics that you want to hear about that we don't talk about? You know, what do you want to hear? And they can send an email to...
What's that email, Ken?
It's workersmike@wgnradio.com.
Very good.
How do you like that?
That's correct.
Yeah, I think you could send it to theworkersmike@wgnradio, too, right?
That is not the address. Do not send it
Scratch
to
that.
The...
Scratch that from the record.
So it's workersmike.
Workersmike.
At wgnradio.
Oh, we can't buy another domain?
Nope. I mean, this is, you know, WGN.
Strings are tight around here, Phil.
Yeah.
And then, you know who passed away?
Bob Uecker.
I can't believe that. He was a good dude.
The best.
The legend.
Union. He was probably a union member.
That's exactly right. Major League Baseball Players Association.
Yeah.
You know.
Made it to 90. And he was working until the day he died.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. He was still announcing games in Milwaukee.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
So we mourn the loss of good union man Bob Uecker.
Also fellow broadcasting legend.
And I think he's probably have to remember, too. So yeah. Who knows? But, you know. One day, and here's the thing, I do want to make this a goal for 2025. I want to start to have some sports unions on, right?
Oh, I love
that. So, like Major League Baseball Players Association, NFL Players Association, you know, some of those associations, and see what they do, right? And you know, because they're union members,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've always said this, right? I'd say this to, like, Unite Here and the concession workers, right? If you got the players to honor your picket line and make sure that they're not walking into the stadium and playing that day, if you have a strike, which, by the way, the players should be doing, you shut down the whole thing. You got power.
Yeah, it's over.
Right? So, anyway, with that, tomorrow brings in the dawn of a new era.
It's going to be inside. They said they're moving the inauguration inside.
Why? The weather?
Cold outside.
Hmm.
Really?
It's going to be cold.
Where are they going to put it?
Probably not going to, I don't know, you're not going to have a really big crowd, so you're not going to need, like, a huge space.
I
don't know where they're
going to put it. I heard people go in there with kazoos.
Is that divine intervention?
I really did. I'm not kidding, to, like, disrupt things.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen, but yeah, so tomorrow's a new day. When you hear this show next, we'll be under a new administration.
That's correct.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll hope to make it to next week.
Yes.
God save us all.
God save us all. Just kidding. Listen, thank you all so much. We had a great show, and we'll be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.